Okay, so Sukkot is Haba Aleinu Latova. I know Yom Kippur's in the way. There's actually a big discussion in the Bali Machshava. Is it appropriate to even start thinking about Da'al Minim before Yom Kippur? You're taking away from the thoughts of Tshuva and Kapara. But whatever. The way it's the Shabbos in between this year, so we have to kind of take the days we have available to buy. So I figure this is a good time. Just before I begin, the props that we have are thanks to Rabbi Yeshua Singer. He gave them to me to use this evening. So I will just, as a Karsa Tov, mention that he sells beautiful Da'al Minim by Judaica Plus, Plaza? I always mention one. The bigger one. I don't know. So he sells a little of an Esther over there. And someone said, should we start with Aravos? So we'll start with Aravos. That's a simple one to begin with. What are the goal? The goal is this. The goal is that at least when you walk into the store, you should at least pretend to know what you're doing. At least you should appear like you know what you're doing when you're picking something up and you're turning it over and you're looking at it and you pull out your jeweler's loop and you're seeing exactly what you're looking at. At least you should have an idea. Maybe even, in many, many cases, unless you're selling from somebody who's really well-versed, you may even know more than the kid selling it to you on the corner of Jewel and Main in Queens. You may even know more than them. And to walk away with something practical, you can take this up, fold it into fours, and you'll have, you keep it in your pocket and look at it as you approach your nearby Esrog and Da'al Minim Macher. So let's begin. Let's begin with the Aravos, because as was pointed out, the Aravos is the simplest thing to discuss. It's pretty straightforward. The Torah says, V'lakachtam lechem b'yom harishon, and you should have Arvei Nachal. So the Gemara in Sukkah Lamed Dalad says, and the Shulchan Aruch brings the halacha in Tafresh Mem Zayim, that the Arava needs to have three simanim. You need to have three things in order to know if you're dealing with Aravos. And the Bikur Yaakov says that you need to have all three. You can't just have one or three. You need to have all together. And the Mishnah Berurah says that often you need to be careful before you buy your Aravos, that kids will often cut down Aravos and come and sell them. And therefore you need to make sure you are not buying Aravos, and in fact, any of your Da'al Minim from anybody under the age of Bar Mitzvah. Please, please make sure. No Da'al Minim from people under the age of Bar Mitzvah, because they do not have Das Makna. They do not have the right to be Makna, to sell things to you. And therefore, need to make sure that your seller is above the age. If he has some kid running around the store getting your stuff, that's fine. We need to make sure the transaction is happening with an adult who has the ability to make such a sale to you. And also, he has to be responsible to check the kashrus of the aravos that you are buying as well. Now, the reality is that our Da'al Minim that you buy in the shuk has all these three things. It is highly unlikely, and if you do come across this, please let me know, because that would be very exciting, that you're going to find aravos that do not fit the qualifications of what we're going to discuss very quickly. The first thing is that the leaves should be like a nachal. It's called Arvei Nachal, not because, as we'll see in a moment, it grows by a nachal, but because the leaves look like a nachal. They're long and thin. They should have long, thin leaves, not round leaves that we find like in a poplar. That's the type of tree that has thin, round leaves. It has to be long, thin leaves. That's one. Two, the edges of the leaf should be smooth and not jagged. If there are small bumps on them, it's still kosher, but they want it to be smooth. And the Chazanish allowed aravos from, the example, the Jordan River, even though aravos by the Jordan River do have small bumps and they weren't perfectly smooth, but it shouldn't be jagged like the teeth of a knife. And the third is the branch should be red. Now the Ramah says if it's green but not white, that's okay. And that's kosher, because eventually the green will become red. There is a hiddur, however, and if you buy especially Munsi aravos, which in America are the gold standard of aravos, so it doesn't mean you have to go to Munsi, but you have the ones that are cut from the Munsi aravos company, they almost always have a red stem, and it's an easy hiddur to get. So if you can get aravos with a red stem, that is a great thing to do at the end of the day. Rosh Shlomo Zalmid would only take aravos with a red stem because of this hiddur. So those are the three qualifications: stem, shape of leaf, and edge of leaf. The Gemara in Sukkah in Lamed Gimel says that even though it's called Arvei Nachal, it doesn't have to grow from a river. Now Rashi and Tosfos in the Ran say it's kosher, but there's a mitzvah to find aravos by a river. The Rush and the Rambam say it's describing the species. Arvei Nachal describes that which could grow by river. It doesn't have to grow by a river, and there's no inyan to take it from a river. So we have a machlokas here. Is there a hiddur to find from a river or not? So the Tur brings a Yesh Omrim who says to use a ravos from a nachal, an actual river. And the Taz writes that in fact it's better to take a ravos that weren't from a river to show the chiddush that it's referring to the species, not the location. Meaning, it shows your amunah in Torah Shebaal Peh if you go and buy ravos that were not from a river, because it shows the exact hagdar, the definition of the halacha at the end of the day. They're referring to species, not location. There's an interesting comment from Mordechai Freeman in his Maor Yeshenim in Os Chaf Vav and Os Kuf Nun Beis. He says it's better to use from a nachal in order to be mekayim the words of Hashem. There's an inyan to fulfill the pashtus of the Torah. The simple reading of the Torah is leaves that grow by a river. And he says, no, it's a hitter to choose from a river at the end of the day. And the Mishnah Berurah follows the Taz, who says there's no inyan to take from a ravos from a nachal. Some also prefer non-river aravos because they don't dry out as quickly. That's what the science shows. If you buy a river aravos from a non-river, they will last longer. So at the end of the halacha lemaisa, non-river aravos may even be preferable. Certainly there's no hidzer. When it comes to aravos, there's no issue of tevel and orl and things like that because it's not a fruit, as we'll discuss by Esrog. You should be careful not to buy from someone who's setting the needs of bar mitzvah. And arava morkav is also possible, but you will never find an arava morkav, a grafted arava. So there's nothing you have to worry about at the end of the day. And the Shulchan Aruch says the shear of arava is 12 agdolim or 3 tvachim. According to Chaim Na, it's about 24 centimeters. Chazon Ish 30 centimeters. Your aravos are twice that amount of size. Unless you have a little teeny tiny aravos that are a foot tall, it shouldn't be an issue at the end of the day. Bidiyevet, it can even be 2.5 tefachim if you do need to have little teeny tiny aravos. And that's 20 centimeters of Chaim Na, Chazon Ish is 24 centimeters. And the Mishnah Berurah says this includes the wood itself. You measure the stem of the wood, not the leaf. So even if the leaf peaks above, we don't care, we look at the stem itself. What are pasul for aravos? So really nothing on its own, but the Mishnah Sukkah Lamed Gimel and the Shulchan Aruch and Taf Reish Mem Zayin says that if most of the leaves of the Rava are Yavesh, then it's Pasal. And the Ravid and the Tavim Deim, cited by the Bikur Yaakov, cited by the Shara Tzion, says Mashkelas Hayarakos Legamre. If it's not green at all, then that would seem to be Pasal. However, if it's brittle but still green, then it's kasher. Brittle by aravos is not such a big deal. But you want to make sure aravos are green to be kasher. And the Aruch HaShulchan says if it's, the brittleness is not a psul, because many aravos become brittle after one day. So the Aruch HaShulchan says if brittleness was a psul for aravos, we'd all be done after day one. Because many aravos turn brittle after the first day, and therefore you need greenness. Greenness is a sign of a psul. If the majority of the leaves have become not green, they turn brown, so then that becomes a psul for your aravos. The Shulchan Aruch says a withered arava is kasher. The Magen Avraham says it's not lechadchila. And the El Arava says it's withered arava is kasher lechadchila. So the Mishnah Berurah says aravos are easily attainable, and therefore if you're going to spend anything extra on sukkahs, buy multiple sets of arava. It's a very easy thing to do. Keep extras in the fridge, and it's the best way to get around at the end of the day and switch them out. The Mishnah in Sukkah Lamed Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch says Niktam Rosho of arava is pasul. If you cut off the top of an arava, it's no good. And the Mishnah Berurah says that if the leaf is removed, it is kasher, but if the wood is cut, it is pasul. This leads to the inyan of the lavlav. You'll buy aravos, and they'll tell you these are lavlav aravos only. So the stipler said that an arava with a lavlav is kasher l'chil. That means that you see a leaf of arava growing out from the tippy-tippy top of the top of the stem. It's like it has a hat. Because that indicates what? It must be the top of the arava, because it can't grow a leaf if you cut it off from the middle. So that indicates it is the tippy-tippy top, and that is a hitter, because you know for sure it was not niktam rosho, it was not cut from the top. And the Ha'aros of the Mishnah Berurah of Rav Yisrael Yaakov Fisher says it was never a minute to look after a lavlav, but Rav Shlomo Zalman in multiple sources says that the lavlav is better because you know for sure it wasn't niktam rosho. And I think also if you buy Mansi Aravos, I don't get a cut for this by the way, but if you buy Mansi Aravos, I think they all come with a lavlav as well. So if you can find a Aravos with a lavlav, it's an easy hitter to fulfill, and probably will cost the same at the end of the day. If most of the leaves in a 3 tefach section fall off, it's pasul. If some of the leaves fall off, it's kasher. So losing leaves is not the end of the day until you have lost the majority of the leaves within a 3 tefach section. The Mishnah Berurah says that because the aravos are readily available, again, change aravos if you can. And the Magen Avraham warns that one should be careful when placing the aravos into the kashikol that it does not rip them off all of a sudden. So be very, very gentle when you put them in. It's like a Chinese finger torture, right? That was called?
No, finger trap.
Finger trap, whatever it is. So you have to like push it in so it has the room and then pull it out. So be careful you don't strip the aravos of the leaves. That was easy. That was 10 minutes. Did the aravos in 10 minutes? Oh, no. So all once, even all week, if you lose most of the leaves, then it's a psul. Yeah.
How many stands do you need?
For aravos, you need 2. Arve nachal is plural. The fewest amounts of plural is 2. So that's what you need, 2.
If the bottom leaves, when you're putting it in the holder, the bottom falls off, we don't really care as long as you have...
As long as you have 3 tefachim of good, then you're fine.
And if the and how many leaves do you need in that 3 tefachim?
You just need to have the majority of the leaves that were there.
No, right. So in other words, if there's only... In other words, I have...
Theoretically, so if you looked,
there's gaps between. There's only a half dozen leaves in the 3 tefachim area.
So
as long as they're all there, you're fine.
Correct. Yeah, as long as you have a majority of leaves in the 3 tefachim area, your avos are wonderful.
And this is for Hashanahs also. Or
what?
Hashanahs also.
Like when we hit the ground, that you can do whatever you want. It doesn't.
So it could be cut off the middle pieces.
Yeah, it's fine. Okay. Not a problem. Yeah.
For that reason, in order to avoid the leaves coming off. Better not to use a holder, to use like a rubber band or something else.
We have a hitter to use things that are made from material itself. So if you want to do that, if you want to have such a chumrah, you could take lulav leaves and wrap it around and tie it like that. There are people who do that, who will tie it and not use a kashikol, but I guess they make fancy kashikols now that they have like 3 parts to them and you can whatever, but however much you want to spend on a kashikol, that's up to you. Okay. Good. Aravos, pretty clear. Fine. Let's save the esrog for last because, you know. Acharon, acharon, chavim. So let's go to the partner of the esrog. Let's go to the hadasim. So we have some hadasim over here. You can pass them around. We'll discuss the hadasim as we talk about it. So, these are not anything special. These are labeled Meshulash B'Shia Rov Chazmish. So we'll explain what that means in a moment. And we'll even see if that's true, because it's not always just advertised is the truth. So the Torah says, V'lakachtan v'chem b'yom rishon, v'anof eitz avos. There are 3 words, anof eitz avos. That means you need 3 hadasim. The Gemara in Sukkah Lamed Beis says that the Torah is referring to a hadas because the leaves cover the stem and it has the appearance of a braid. Anaf eitz avos means that it looks like a braid going up the series of the stem with 3 leaves. In addition, the wood and the fruit have a similar taste, and you take 3 hadasim together with the lulav, the esrog, and the aravos. The hadas must be lachem. You have to own the hadas, as you must with all of the minim. There's no issue of tevel and orla, because, again, it's not a fruit, so it doesn't matter as well. The hadas shouldn't be dried out, and there is a psul of morkav, if it is a grafted hadas. But the Mishnah Berurah writes that there's no such thing really as a grafted hadas so much. We're not so concerned about it. There was this idea of hadasim from Tzvas were known to be very special and not having any morkav. But even nowadays, I think it'll tell you on the package if this is, does it say over here? Esrogei chalat. It's not even esrog. I don't know what it says that. It doesn't say over here, but sometimes they'll tell you that it comes from Tzvas as a sign. But generally, we do not have an issue of morkav of grafted when it comes to a hadas. Most of the psulim discussed in the Shulchan Aruch, berries, leaves growing off of other leaves, things like that, don't make it to market. So most of Shulchan Aruch of Binyanei Hadasim is not practical at the end of the day. But there are 3 things to look for in a hadas. So you had berries last year.
I was at a vendor, and I was going to buy just to show my kids. They said, oh, I have more, and he poured a bunch more on top, and never found it.
You found a buried hadas. So it's rare to find a buried hadas, but if you do, don't use it. The first thing to look at when it comes to the hadas is the Gemara in Sukkah Lamed Beis, and the Shulchan Aruch and Tafresh Mem Vav says that avos, that a ravos is kosher. It has to be avos. And avos means that three leaves come out of the same spot on the branch, creating a braided look. However, if one leaf comes out above or below the other in its row, it's considered a hadas shota, a dumb hadas, I guess, and it's a puzzle all the days of Sukkos. The Ramah tries to defend those who use hadasim that are not mishalash, meaning you don't have three leaves of the same stem. And then Mishabura says that we may not be lenient if it's not properly mishalash, and a Yerei Shemaim should try and find a completely mishalash where the three leaves come out from the same line at each level of the hadas. The question is, what does that mean? When the Gemara says that three come out together, what does that mean? So that's a machlok between Rashi and Tosos. Rashi in Sukkah says shilush means that the three leaves come out from the same oketz. Three leaves from the same stem. Now, if that was the case, we'd be in big trouble because it's hard to find that, to have three leaves coming out from the same exact point. We follow Tosos, who says they don't come from the same oketz, the same stem, or the same root, but rather smuchim udavukim zeba zeh. They are close to one another. And shilush means that the three leaves come out of their own stem, but they are at the same height. And the Shulchan Aruch follows Tosos, and the Rush says they are be'igul echa, they have to be in one line, one circumference. The Ritva says b'shura echas, one line along as well. And the Torah says as long as one is not higher than the other. So what does that mean at the end of this? So if you hold up your hadas, and we all follow the inyan of the Chazon Ish, that's what it means when it says that it is Mishulish Bashir. No, that's regarding the length. But when we follow the sheet of the Chazon Ish, as reported by Reb Chaim Grindman in his Chiddushi Birurim on Sukkah, that he has the following Kabbalah from the Chazon Ish, that the leaves don't have to be perfectly lined up, because it's very rare to have leaves that are perfectly coming out from the same stem. If you find that, you're going to pay a lot of money for it. Even if you want to, you know, tavolav bracha. But that's not what we need, a perfect line all the way around. Rather, they need to be at the same height with a chut hamakif, a circumference line that touches the root of the three leaves as they come out of the stem. Even if the three roots are not perfectly aligned, but they share a line of circumference, they're kosher. And the stipler supports this with a comment based on the Yerushalmi. So, look as follows. You'll notice that every hadas point has three parts. There's a root, then there is a piece of wood that comes up with the leaf, and then there's a leaf itself. So if you look at the root, and you were to draw a line around, in a circle around it, and all three roots were to pass at some point through that line, then it is considered mishalash. That means you could have three leaves coming out of three different points, but as long as you have one, two, and three, and they all, one, two, and three all overlap each other, meaning one is in the realm of two, and three is in the realm of two, and they all overlap within this line you draw across each level of the three hadasim, that is sufficient.
What are you drawing the line through?
You're drawing the line through
the roots.
The roots. So if you look over here, that is a root, and then that is a root, and then that is a root. So
they're at the same level.
They're at the same level.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't say this was bad. I said there's
no. But you said that they could be separated from the root.
No, meaning the roots don't have to be totally equal. Don't have to be a perfect line.
How far away can
each root makes up a millimeter or two. So you have a range within the roots of the top. Exactly.
Need one tenth off of this.
Oh, we'll get to how much in a second. So
if you go down a little bit.
Yeah. So exactly, like down here, this is very obvious. If you come down here, you have one, two. There's not even three. You have one. This is a huge gap. One, two. So this is going to be fine because you only need a majority of it to be fine. Last year, somebody knocks on the door 3 hours before Sukkos, and none of them lined up at all. They were all over the place. And they said, you know, Rov, Chazanish, Mishulish, the whole thing on the package, and none of them were good. So we had to go out and get before Yantiv. So in the Sefer Arbas Haminim LeMahadrin, He says that he heard from Rav David Soloveitchik in the name of his father, the Briska Rav, in the name of his father, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, who felt that it was reliable, even if the three leaves don't touch, it should be sufficient that the shorashim, that the roots align at the end of the day, and the stems don't have to. Rav Nissen Karelitz writes in the Chachani that if one lines up with two and two lines up with three, like we said, then it's fine. But if three and one don't line up together, if three of the stems of the roots don't line up together, so then it would be a problem. If there's a suffix, so this is an important suffix to know. If you're unsure, if you're looking at it and you're not sure, so the Arba Semina Lamahadrin says that the Chasam is felt that it's Mishalash. A suffix, if there's a Chut HaMakif, a suffix whether it lines up, you can be Mekel, says the Chasam. The Briska Rav says you have to be Machmer, but we can follow the Chasam in this case. So if you're looking, you're like, I don't know, and you give it to your wife, and you give it to your son, and your daughter, and everyone looking at you, you don't know, so then you can be Mekel to say it's Mishulish at the end of the day.
That's
fine. I saw in the Sefer Madrich Ma'asi Lebedikas Arba Saminim, he says that there are those who say that it's sufficient that the Hadas is Nira Le'ein K'mishulash. This is against the Chaznish. This is the sheet of Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach felt that it's Nira Le'einayin K'mishulash. You just have to look at it. You hold it about a foot away, and if it looks like it's Mishulash, so that's fine. You don't have to take a line and go across each one, and that's fine at the end of the day. Now, he himself would not use the Chut HaMakif of the Chaznish. However, he wouldn't teach this to other people because it is too hard for people to understand what that means. Because, well, it does look like near K9, it does look good to me, it's not. So when people come to ask him Shailas, he would tell them the Chaznish, Chut HaMakif, look at each one, is there a line that goes through each root, and that's sufficient at the end of the day. But personally himself, he would look at it, say it looks Mishulash, and that was it. We generally don't follow Rosh Shlomo Zalman in that regard. Let's get to the height of the Hadassim. So the Shulchan Aruch says the Hadass has to be 12 Agdolim, or 3 Tvachim, and that's again 24 centimeters of Chayimna, 30 centimeters of the Chaznish, which again is a little bit more than a foot, but you see we are well above a foot in that regard as well. Mikra Din, it can be 2.5 Tvachim, which is even shorter than that, 20 centimeters, 24 centimeters. The Mishnah Berurah says you start measuring from the bottom, most Mishulash, until the top of the wood of the branch. Now you'll see over here you have the wood is a little bit down. It's about a half an inch below the top. So it goes from the first good mishulash on the bottom to the top of the branch, not including the leaves that stick out. The Shulchan Aruch says it's a hitter. The entire length should be mishulash. However, mikra adinor to make a bracha, rove mishulash. The majority should have leaves that are properly aligned. If you find all mishulash, it is a hitter, but it's going to cost. It's going to cost a lot more. Because that means you're some guy. Either you can go to a bunch and sit there in an open basket. But in America, it's hard to find open baskets of hadassim unless you want to go to a store that's going to offer them. But most stores, they're going to sell them packaged. And if you're going to find a package that's going to be kulo mishulish, all mishulish from top to bottom, that means some guy in Meisharim sat there and spent 5 hours looking for one for you. So you're going to have to pay him at the end of the day somehow. So it's just going to cost, but there is a hitter to it at the end of the day. The Mishnah Berurah says that 7 of the 12 egdolim should be avos. Meaning, if you have 12 leaves together, 12 levels of leaves, so 7 of them should be mesholosh, and that's considered rov. And the Bir Halachi says you need almost 2 full tefachim. Kafachayim says Rov Hanira La'ayin. Prima Gadim says 2 Tvachim and a Mashu. So make sure you have 2 Tvachim at least of real Mishulish going on your Hadassim. The Shulchan Aruch and Tafresh Memvav brings a Machlokas whether a Hadass is Kusher if the top is clipped off. So the Ramah says it's Kusher, but it's best to find another Hadass. And everyone agrees that if the leaves are top are clipped off, then it's Kusher. A Siman, if it was not cut, if there are smaller leaves on top. You see these Hadassim, they get smaller as you get to the top. So this is a good indication that these were not clipped at the top. If your hadassim are big all the way to the top, it may indicate that somebody was cutting them at some point. But again, that's a machlokas, but the evidence would be okay. We try to have not niktam rosho on top at the end of the day. And the Ramah says that if some of the branch is not mashosh, but there's enough of a shear, and it's kosher, and the Bir Halacha says that if you have very long hadasim, you only need a shear. I've never seen very long hadasim before. If you had hadasim that were, you know, 2-3 feet long, you just need a shear, even if the rest of them are not good. The Bir Halacha says, Mishulish branches are spread over 6 tefachim. That's in the Prima Gadim as a suffix, whether the rove is a puzzle. But again, at the end of the day, 2 tefachim is sufficient. The third sign is the Mishnah Berurah says that most of the leaves of the hadas have fallen off and is puzzle. Again, it's rare to have hadasim leaves fall off that much. And the Shaar HaTzion says, the Gaonim say that even one leaf falls off, it's puzzle, but we don't follow the Gonim. But there is a hiddur as well to be machmir for the Gonim, and if one leaf falls off, to not use it. But again, it's very, you have to be very rough on your hadassim. Again, when you put them into the kashigal, you should try to be careful, but it's easy to get through sukkahs and not lose them, except that one. What if the top of the leaves doesn't touch the bottom of the next row? Do you see how these leaves, the top then meets the bottom of the next row? Right, so sometimes you'll have very spaced out hadasim. Is that a problem? Because is that really avos? Is that the sense that you really have covered the entire stem in this braid? So the Bikura Yaakov says it's kosher, and Rav Yaakov says it's pasal. And halacha lemaisa is that it's kosher, but it's a mitzvah min hamuvchar that the top of every leaf should touch the bottom of the leaf above it. And what if the leaf sticks out and they don't sit and rest on the branch? Let's say all these leaves were flayed out and they didn't rest covering the branch. And the branch was naked, so to speak. And it was exposed. So here, the Bikur Yaakov and the Chazon Ish say it's kasher. The Rashash in Sukkah says that it's pusel. If you have very spread out parallel leaves that are not against the wood, he thinks it's a psul. And he doesn't understand why anybody else doesn't think it's a psul as well. He says, I don't understand what's wrong with the world. It says it has to be avos, it has to be covering like a braid up the top, and if it's all spread out, it's no good. But the minhag is not like the rashash. Even if you have very whacked out leaves that are being spread out to the side, that's still fine. But you want to try leaves that go top to bottom, touching the bottom of the next leaf as well. And that's the pit sheet of the Chazon Ish. Okay, good. Oh, 26 minutes. We have 4 extra minutes to spread out for Esrog. Okay. Let's move on now to the lulav, because a lulav, again, it's not as complicated as the Esrog. The lulav we have in front of us over here. I will explain. Just like needs to be lachem, it has to be your Esrog. The Ritva and Sukk and the Shulchan Aruch say Orla and Tevel is only a psul for Esrog, it's not a pri. Lulav does not have an issue of Orla and Tevel. And the Chayadim and Kufnum Beis and the Shvus Yaakov say that Murkav is a psul for Dalaminim, but we don't check nowadays because we do not have Murkav lulavs. Not an issue. There are 2 levels of checking a lulav. There needs to be 2 steps when you walk into the store. The first is to buy from a reliable salesman or a packaged lulav with a good hechsher that can state that the lulav wasn't cut on Shabbos. That's an important thing as well. The sale should be final. It's lachem. You don't want to pay. There's issues paying with a check and he's not going to deposit it. It's not going to be yours. It should be fresh and not dry. The leaves should not be separated, meaning very flailing out a lot. We don't really find that so much. It should be straight and not bent in a certain way, like not like this one. And the shidra, the spine, has to be between 32 and 39 centimeters, which in most cases is going to be fine, unless you have a very, very small lulav. The second level is regarding the middle leaf, the tiomis. And that's what the guy's looking at in the store. When he's looking at it, and like, what is he talking about? I don't see a middle leaf, they all look the same to me. So he's looking at the tiomis in the middle. It should not have been cut. It should be closed and not open. It should be fresh and not dry. It should not be a hymnic, as we'll discuss. The tiomes should not be higher on one side than the other. And the tiomes should not be wider on one side than the other. It should be straight and not bent. And there's a machlokes regarding kura, as we'll discuss in a moment. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch says that the length of the lulav is 4 tefachim. That means from the bottom of the lulav, where we have starting 2 leaves on each side. Not from here, but it has to be from here, where you're beginning to have 2 leaves. Not from here, but rather from over here. And then it has to be 4 tefachim going up until the top, until the end of the shidra. This doesn't include the height of the middle leaf itself. The shidra here ends someplace around over here. So this is certainly more than 4 tefachim, and it's fine at the end of the day. What are the psulim in the leaves? What would make this no good? Yavesh. So the Shulchan Aruch says that if it's most leaves are dried out and has become white, it is pasul. This is not, I know it looks light, but it's not white. You're never going to find a lulav like that unless one you kept from last 2 years ago from Chametz they never found. That will be moldy and white, and that's going to be an issue. But in most cases, it's not going to become too dry. The Rama is lenient that it's only a psul if the leaves are nifrach ketziporen, that it's brittle. Again, but these are not, you see, they're still bend, it doesn't snap off. This is certainly fine as well. The Mishabura cites the Ravid, who says the middle leaf is yavish, then the tiyomis is pasul, but this is not a case in most issues as well. And the Vilna Gaon says that even if the middle leaf has a part yavish, it would be pasul as well. But again, a pasul, a yavish lulav is going to be highly unlikely. And many love him. The spitz at the very top was burnt. And see how it's brown? It's hard to, everyone can see. But it's brown over here at the very end. The very end here, there's this brownish, dark color. So that's called the spitz in the lulav terms. And that is fine. That just comes from being out in the sun while it's on the tree. And that is not a problem. The Chazon Ish says it's not yavesh. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that being burnt by the sun is not yavesh. It's not brittle, it still contains its moisture. The Brisker Rav said it is yavesh, but unless you're a Brisker, and there's no reason to be machma for that. And the Stipler said that even the Brisker Rav would agree that if there's only a small amount of red, then the leaf is still kosher. This is such a small, maybe the Brisker Rav would say, like if all this was burnt. But this is such a small amount that even the Brisker Rav should be okay. The next is Niktam, if it's cut off, if you want to be really, really mean over to somebody over a sukkah and you really are upset at them, take a scissor and cut off the top of their lulav. That's a way to ruin everything for them. And most of the top leaves are not going to be cut off. And the Rama says any amount of the middle leaf that was cut off is going to be a psul. So if somebody cut over here, it would be okay according to the Rama. If someone cut up here, then that would be a problem. If there are two tiyomas, sometimes you'll find two middle leaves on a lulav. So in that case, the Mishnah Berurah says that if one is cut, you can be lean, the other one is still good. If there's a suffix, if it was cut, it would be mutter. And the lulav has a thorn at the end of it and it was cut off, then the Chazon Ish says it's fine. But again, you would never see that in the lulavs you're going to get. That's psul number two. Niktam Rosho. Three. The sukkah, Gemara in Sukkah says that if the tiyomes is nechlaka, it is pasul on the first day. And that is what everybody is looking at and so concerned about on their lulav. Meaning, there's an opening at the connection between the two parts of the leaf in the lulav. Shulchan Aruch says it's a psul only if the opening is the majority of the tiyomes, the middle leaf, most of the leaf. However, the Rama cites the Trumas Hadeshen, who says it's a psul if the middle leaf is opened to the shidra. And the shidra is where, well, here, come. Let's gather around, because it's hard to describe this without looking at it. I colored it in with a Sharpie, so you could follow what we're looking at. So you pick up the lulav, you start looking at the bottom. And you follow and you follow and you follow and you follow. And at a certain point, and it happens right over here, it will split. I'm going to ruin this because we don't care about this. At a certain point, the shidra will split into three. It will branch into three. This is, the shidra has now stopped. It now becomes a leaf, and you have three. And in that three, you'll follow till the middle leaf. So this is now the middle leaf. You'll follow three to like a fork in the road, a three-pronged piece, and you'll follow to the middle, and this is the tiyomes here in the middle. Okay? So if this middle piece over here has now become split, so we have an issue. So the Rama says if it splits down, the Shulchan Aruch says if it's split all the way down, rove all the way down over here, that's a problem. The Rama says if it's split rove to the shidra, which is over here, meaning most of this area would be open, then you'd have a problem. Again, hopefully, you're not going to find lulav that quickly like that. You should be able to avoid that. You should be able to avoid that at the end of the day. Okay? Now.
Is that split the way that's split all the way down?
No, this is not split at all. This is the tiyomis. We haven't opened it. Oh. So now, let's look over here. There is a chashash, and this is what the Ashkenazim are concerned about. There's a chashash that during Nanuim, if you shake this, it will open more and more and more over the course of Sukkot. And it's not just a psul for the first day, it's a psul for all days. And therefore, this is now split. Okay? this is split, like this. This is split, but it's not even rove. It's not rove to the shidr, even according to the Ramah. So this is still good. Now, there again, there is a hiddur that it shouldn't be open at all, because again, you don't want it to open up over the course of sukkahs. But this is perfectly fine. This is not good. Now, this is not good that I just did that. Now it's no good. So that's what you're looking for. You're looking and you're looking to see if it's slightly split open at the top. And if you can find one where it's closed all the way to the top point, then good for you. Tavo lav bracha. If you can't, so then, as long as it's, if it's just open a little bit over here, it's still fine. You just want it to not be split to the middle of this section. And don't do what I did, because that's not nice to the lulav mocher. You want to, be like, oh, I think it's, I don't think it's good. So that's what we're looking at over here.
Do you have to do that check every day before you eat the bracha?
No, I don't think you have to. I think you can assume if it was close to the top, if it was close
but
to the top before.
You tied it also.
Sure, you've tied it and it's good and... And it's going to be, it's probably going to be fine at the end of the day. Yeah.
Once in a while, you find it where the top is double.
We'll talk about each bent top in a moment. So the Vilna Gaon says that it's a psul if most of the middle leaf is open, and if a small amount is open, it's kasher. And the Taz says only if a tefach is open, it's a psul. And the Mishnah Berurah concludes, as we just said, that if you have a better lulav, you should try to use it. But Mikra Din, it is kasher as long as the middle leaf is not a majority open. Again, most lulavim are going to be kasher. If you can, the more you can find it closed, then the better. But most of them are going to be closed the majority of the way down. Certainly 100%. The Mishnah Berurah says if there are two tiyomas and one is open, it's pasul. It's hard to even know if you're going to be able to find two tiyomas. So don't assume that yours has two unless you really know what you're looking at. And the Stipler and the Runis and Karela say that if the top leaf is stuck together with kura, with this, it's totally sealed together with the red brown stuff, then it's considered closed. You don't have to take off the stuff to see. And many sellers use clear glue to keep the top together. They will use some type of clear glue so it doesn't open during the Anuim. And it will be kosher according to the Rama. And some poskim, the Marsham, allow using glue to keep your lulav together. And others say it's a psul because of chatzitza for other reasons. And certainly the seller has to tell you if he's gluing the top together. That would be ona'ah, because he's going to charge you more for something that might not be worth as much. So certainly he should tell you if he did glue it together. The Sharet Zion says, the site of the Magen Avraham. Yeah.
Has the brown leaves going all the way up to the top?
No. We'll get to Kura, we'll get to the Sephardim and Kura in a second. This is if there's a little bit of Kura together, just holding it, just covering this little piece up here, and you don't want to remove it because you're afraid to see what's underneath it, then don't, says the Stipler. You can assume it's together. Okay? Again, the Sharet Zion says that if the leaves next to the middle leaf is separate, so it looks like two, then it's going to be pasul as well. And therefore the Chafetz Chaim says, one must be careful when checking the middle leaf not to separate the leaves from the middle leaf. Again, it's hard to see that. In most cases, it's not going to be a problem for that as well. This is always very popular to discuss, even though I don't think I've ever really seen one myself, and that is the hymnic. The hymnic is the top, very top of the lulav does this. It looks like a hymnic is tongs in the days of the Gemara. So it does this. Just make one for you. Never really seen a hymnic myself, so I'm just going to make one for you. It looks like this. The middle leaf bends out like this. So it's facing in almost opposite directions. Okay? That's a hymnic. If you have that, that is pasul. 100%. If you see, even if the majority is not open, hopefully you will not come across that. That means that your lulav has been mishandled terribly, and it should not be bent out in that V shape. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach says that this is only if they cannot be joined together. But in some cases in the hymnic, if you lie it on the table, it will close. But once you pick, when it's like this, it goes like sideways. But when you pick it up, it comes together. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman says if it does that, that would be perfectly fine. And the Stipler and the Chaznish allowed it if it was only open slightly. It has to be open a lot. And Rissen Karel, it says that if the Kura is in the space that you can't see the hymnic, it's kosher as well. So if this space was filled with the red leafy stuff, and you couldn't really see the split so much, that would be fine. Five, bent. So this is certainly a bent lulav, but it's not bent in the wrong way. The Shulchan Aruch says that the lulav is a lulav that curves towards the person, and it's fine. If the spine is facing you and it bends and it curves back towards you, that bend is fine. So when the guy's in the store and he's looking at it like a cue ball, and he's not exactly sure what you're looking at, so they're looking to see if it's bent. But bending back towards you is fine, because this is the natural growth of a lulav, that it fans out like this. If it bent this way, that would be a problem. According to the Shulchan Aruch, if it curves towards the side significantly, then that is a psul as well. And the Chazon Ish says that a slight curve is kasher, and that's what we rely on as well. So when they're looking down the lulav like this, they're looking to see if it curves to the side. But it needs to be a curve, a real curve. If it has a slight bend, then that's perfectly fine. If the lulav is bent over, it would be pasul. If it was like bent like this, it would be pasul. If the top sleeves are bent over, then it is kasher. This is what we were talking about before. This is what Dov asked about before. Sometimes the top leaf will have a hook. Don't worry, nobody knows who you are anyway. So the top hook. The top hooks like this, over like that. So that is kasher, because that is the natural growth of a lulav. It will do that at the end, and therefore that's not considered a psul. And the Mishnah Berurah says in the Shem of the Rush that the Rush preferred the top leaf that was knuppel. It was bent over, because that showed it was a more natural thing, and it indicated that the leaf wasn't split. Because it was bent, it means it had like a lock on top of the leaf, that it wasn't going to be split. However, other Rishonim felt that the Knepel was a psul, and if most of the leaves are bent on top, then this is a Machlokas Achronim, and it's better to find a different lulav. If all the leaves bent over like that, I would pick up a different lulav for the rest of my search. The Shulchan Aruch says that if the leaves are beginning to separate, but they can be tied together, they've begun to fan out, but if you tie them together, they'll stay put, then that is perfectly fine, even if you don't tie the leaves, but I don't think, we rarely find a lulav that is fanned out to that extent when you're getting it. And the Ramah says, name of the Ran, it's a mitzvah, min ha-mavchar, to take a lulav where the leaves don't separate at all. And Rav Yashiv felt that some space is kasher l'chadchil. The Shulchan Aruch says, lulav shenechvatz is pasul, whatever that may be, what we really care about is the zigzag. Sometimes at the top of the lulav you have a little zigzag. We've seen that before. Makes a little shape over there. So that is kasher according to all of the poskim. And as long as it's not open, and if it's zigzag, it probably means it's closed together anyway. So that is the basics of the very messy lulav. Oh, I didn't talk about kura. Again, Svardim like to buy a lulav that is completely covered up. They think that is an indication that everything is tight and together. That makes Ashkenazim very nervous. We're very nervous people. And we don't like that because we don't know what's going on underneath. If you have a lulav that is completely covered in kura, then by all means, you can still use it. But for Ashkenazim, we try to have it not covered because we want it to be, be able to see what's going on. This gets in discussion about using deri lulav. And deri lulavim are lulavim that are grown that are very tight together, very thick, very tight. Svardim, many often think that is a hizer, a deri lulav, because of its togetherness. Ashkenazim, sometimes I'm not sure, because again, it's hard to see with the deri lulav what's going on, because it's packed together so tightly to space everything out. A deri lulav is, I think, is going to be okay at the end of the day, but we try to be, Ashkenazim like to see what's going on. We're very nervous, like to see, check out, and like to tug and to pull and to look, so we like to be aware and see the situation. Okay, that is a lulav. Let's get now to Acharon Acharon Chaviva, and that is the Esrog. So we should be aware by now that there is what to learn about the other things. Sometimes we go and we pick an Esrog and then we give whatever the guy takes us to take and we walk home. But hopefully we have a little bit more recognition. But let's talk about what I think we all know. Not everybody, nobody has favorite children, but you know, the Esrog is, the star of the show. So let's begin. V'lakach nechama yom rishon pre-eitz hadar. Let's put these out so we can explore what we're talking about. You can pass these around. These different esrogim. What is pasul? First thing we're going to discuss is what is pasul. No hidurim yet. Hidurim we'll save for the very fancy people at the end. Just what is pasul, and what are you looking at when you are holding it up? What are you trying to see? What are you trying to walk away with? So the Kata Kamach writes, Kodem kol ikar ha-hidr hu im ein bo chashash psul. He says the most important hidr is your esrog shouldn't be pasul. That's the most important thing. Then look how beautiful it is and how pretty it is. But the first thing is to make sure it's not pasul. You have to know what's an esher kosher before worrying about the looks. First thing is einu morkav. Now, I'm not going to get into einu morkav. I put a QR code on the bottom of the sheet. You can scan that. I have a whole shiur, almost an hour long, about morkav. Is morkav necessary? Is it not necessary? What are we looking for? Different types of estrogim. What does it mean, chaznish versus teimani versus charlap? What's going on with all those descriptions? Ayin sham. But morkav is important. And this is important as well. If your esrog bach has a hechsher on it, it is not telling you, in most cases, that this esrog is good. What it's telling you is that it is not morkav. That this person is testifying that it's not been grafted with a lemon. That's what the hechsher is telling you. That's the first thing. Sometimes growers want estrogen with nicer appearance or stronger pitone, and that leads to grafting. And that's why we need to be careful when we buy these estrogen. And therefore, you have to buy an estrog with a proper yichus. Okay, the Mishabura says that an estrog of tevel and orla is pasul all 7 days. And if the estrog is not grown for eating, then there's no tevel. But nowadays, most estrogen are grown for eating and selling. And therefore, you have to be concerned about tevel and mysis and things like that, according to Chaim Kanievsky. And that's the other thing the Hechsher on the box tells you. The Hechsher on the box tells you that this is not, the trumas and mysis have been taken from this estrog. On the first day of Sukkot, it has to be lachem. On other days, it doesn't have to be lachem. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the Birkei Yaakov is a famous shita that the Makam HaMikdash needs lachem for all 7 days, and therefore you'll find many people in Eretz Yisrael for Sukkot will go to the Old City and go to the Makam HaMikdash, to at least the Kotel, to go in Leiluv again, because that could be a mitzvah d'oraisa, in order to fulfill the mitzvahs in that location. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach discusses whether this is for all the Yerushalayim, just in the Kotel, Ayin Sham, and the Halicha Shlomo. As we said before, Dal Midim should be bought not from a child, not a katan. Even lechatchila, it should be someone who has shtei sairos. Not that you have to ask, but again, you should look at it, at least the kid who's selling you should be able to look like he can grow a mustache. Something. It should not be a young kid because he has to be able to have das mak in order to sell it to you. So it should be lechem. In addition, as we mentioned before, you try want to pay with cash or credit card so that the transaction is complete before Sukkot, so you have a check. If I might not cash it, it might not be lechem, according to some shitas. It's a good thing to try to pay with cash or credit card if possible. An esrog chaser, an esrog that is lacking is pasul on the first day and all 7 days in Yerushalayim, near the Makam HaMikdash, and this is noted by the Mishnah in Sukkah and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. And any chaser is pasul, even the smallest hole. The Torah says, lakachtam, lakicha, tama. It needs to be tamim. It needs to be complete. However, on the first day, b'shas hadachak, and on yontiv sheni shel golyos, even not b'shas hadachak, we rely on a yesh omrim, who say that a chaser mashahu is not pasul. If a little tiniest amount became lost from your esrog, something, a chunk, little tiny chunk became lost, and it's so small, then that's not a psul. And according to his opinion, it means the size of an isser. An isser is between 19 and 33 millimeters, which is a nice amount to be missing from your esrog. Again, it's unlikely that chunks of estrogim go missing from your esrog unless somebody came and bit it. I once heard a story about a guy who, There was a Bat Lubavitcher was handing out Dal Minim during Sukkot, and it was like the third day, and the guy said, did you make a bracha? And the guy said, no, I didn't. So he picked up the esrog and said, Baruch Atah Hashem Elohim Cholam, Baruch Priyat, and took a bite out of it, and he ran away. So again, to find a chunk, a real chaser, so that is that requires some negligence when it comes to it. But because of the suffix, you can't make a bracha on such an esrog, and during Chol HaMoed, you'll be able to make a bracha. The Bir Halacha explains that there's a thin, transparent shell in the esrog, and underneath is a green shell. And if something is missing from the transparent shell, it's not a psul and chaser, but if something is missing from the green shell underneath, then it is a psul. Now, it's hard to know exactly what you're looking for in that type of a chaser. A hole created by a thorn, when it connects to the tree, is pasul. Sometimes a thorn or a branch will poke it, and if the skin and the flesh are formed over the hole, it's kosher. It's a suffake whether the crust formed over the hole, it's also kosher. And this is when you bring the esrog to the rabbi. If you don't know, is that thing that's chaser, that growth over something in the esrog, is that something that occurred properly or improperly? That's what you're bringing to look at. Because only a mumcha and esrogim can tell you if that growth is something that growed over properly from a thorn or growed over improperly. You never grew over when that thorn or that branch made an indentation. That's one of the things you're looking at when you have that white, whitish scabs on the esrog. That's what one of the people are looking out for. The Rama says that if the pitum fell off while it was growing, it is famously kasher, as we know. And the Mishnah Berurah cites the Bikra Yaakov, who says that a sign that the pitum fell off while it's still growing is there'll be an indentation in the place of the pitum. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman says that even if it falls off in the middle or the end of the growing process, it's still kasher. So you have over there the one with the circle on top. This is a bad pitum. This is a pitum that there's no indentation. It's a clear break. It's very clear the break. There's no indentation in the middle. It didn't recess into the middle. It's a clear break across. So this is a pitum. This esrog is worth 2 cents, maybe, for jelly. And the pitum fell off there. You see there's no indentation or hole at that point. Exactly, it looks like somebody took a knife to the branch and cut it. A pitum that falls off after being picked along with some of the fruit is a pasul on the first day according to the Ramah. And the Magen Avraham says it's a pasul all days because it lacks hadar. So we have Machlokes Ramah, Magen Avraham. The Mishnah Berurah says if you cannot find another esrog, you can rely on the Ramah. But if he's unsure, you can make a bracha as well. So even if you lost the pitum and it came off with some of the, more than just the pitum itself, we want to try another esrog for the rest of Sukkos. If just the pitum fell off, then there's a machlokas aposkim. The Magen Avraham says if something still sticks out from the pitum, you still have a stem that's coming up from the esrog, then it is kasher. However, the Mishnah Berurah says it's best to find another esrog. And the Ramah says that if the shoshanta falls off and it's kasher, but it's proper to be machmer, that's what the shoshanta is, the little hat that the pitum wears. So even if the pitum falls off, and it is true that we say if the pitum falls off, it is good the rest of the days, but that's even a machlokas. So we try, if we can, to find a different esrog, if available, over the course of Sukkos. The Shulchan Aruch says that if the oketz falls off, and it leaves a hole, then it's possible. The oketz is the bottom over here. This is the part that grows connected to the tree. If this whole green piece falls off, so then, and it leaves the hole inside its pasul. But if it falls off, should we do it? So, here we go. 1 second. So, I want to make sure that was the pasul one. So, it left a hole inside. So we left a hole inside. We left a recess of a hole. So the Shulchan Aruch says, this is pasul. But if some of it falls off and the hole is still filled, meaning like if somebody chopped off the little tail of the oketz over here, that would still be fine because the hole is still filled with the rest of it. That would be okay. Smells good.
So as long as there's no flesh missing.
No flesh missing. I mean, it shouldn't be a clean hole on the inside like this. Here, you can look at my hand. Next, the Shulchan Aruch says that a change in color under the chotem. So what's the chotem? The chotem is when the slant, the top slant over here is the chotem. And any change in color the chotem is the slant. Any change in color on the bottom area, underneath the slant, in 2 or 3 places, is a psul. If it's in one place, but it covers a rove, the majority of the esrog, then it's pasul. Hopefully you'll never see an esrog like that. And from the chotem, from this top slanty area going up, when the esrog begins to slant up, any color change is pasul. We are most machmer in this top third area of the esrog. We want to be as clean as possible when looking. So, good. Let's discuss. On the chotem, in this area, the top slanty area, any black spot or any white spot is a psul. Below here, only 2 or 3 spots are a psul. If you can see one spot, no matter where you hold the esrog. Should I explain that again?
How big is the spot?
Okay, any side. We'll discuss how far it has to be close to your eye. Let's take a map of this. Let's take our...
Puzzle.
Okay. Let's take the pasuk back. So this is definitely pasuk, at least according to two issues right now. So let's draw a line. This is the chotan. Okay? Anything above this line that's black or white, not brown, not green, anything above this line that's black or white is going to be a problem. We'll discuss moving things away in a moment.
Black and white or different green?
No, black or white. Though black and white are the problematic colors.
Okay.
Okay?
So if it's like different greens...
So that one has green shades, that's fine.
That's fine, 100%. Below the chotem, if you have two or three spots, okay, and in these two or three spots, I can, and no matter where I hold the esrog, I can see one of the spots, then that's a psul. If the two or three spots are all along one side, and if I hold the esrog like this, I can't see them, so that is not a psul. Okay? It needs to be two or three spots, no matter where I hold the esrog, I'll see one of those spots. The Rav Nissen Karelit says that dark brown turning black is not kosher, but again, it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. That's, I think, an extra chumrah. Black or white is really what we're looking for.
So if you're making a bracha, do you have to turn it away from you?
What? That's fine. No, you wouldn't have to do that. Once your esrog is good, then you're good. You're not actually worried about it.
If it has the three spots, you know it has three spots on the far side.
On the far side. No, that's fine. Okay. You don't have to do that. In the Arbas Haminul Mahadrin, he says the black dot is a psul if it's part of the esrog. And this is important. So when you're looking at the esrog, you have to make sure it doesn't come from somewhere else. You may pick it up and say, oh, it's a black dot. But if you rub it away, if you scratch it gently away, then that's not a problem. Now, don't scratch into it to make an indentation and make your esrog chaser. But if you can gently rub and with your fingernail gently move it away, that would be fine. The Mishnah Berurah, it gives eight different types of black dots, and each one has its own din. So we don't have to remember that. But the rule is, if you can remove the black dot on the esrog with any auxiliary means, water, wax, plasticine, you can rub off that black dot and be careful not to make it a chaser, and the esrog is kosher. So before you put it down and say, oh, there's a dot, it's no good, first, you know, give it a little, not elbow grease, but, you know, make sure that it can be removed. And the stipler says that even if you don't even have to remove it. If I know I could remove it, if I wanted to, but I don't want to, then that's also fine, if it could be removed. The Rama talks about bledlach, which is a scab formed by the leaves rubbing against the esrog while it's growing as kasher. The Mishnah Berurah says that if the bledlach is raised, then it should only be b'shas hadachak. If there's a scab on the esrog and it's coming off of it, try not to use such an esrog. And Nissen Karel, it says that if it's not clear, if it sticks up, then it's kosher because every bletzel, every raised scab is going to be slightly raised in some form, and that's not a problem. Let's talk about distance. How close?
So if there is a scab
that's raised, then maybe find a different one, but it's not absurd.
So there's a dot right there. I mean, is that something you should worry about?
So let's talk about distance, okay?
It's smaller, it's like a tenth of a millimeter.
So let's talk about distance, okay? A chaser is only a problem. An issue of chaser is a problem no matter how close you look. If something is missing, it can be even this close, okay? However, shinui mara, a different color like a dot, depends on how it appears to the naked eye. And a spot is only a psul if it's nikeres ayin. The regular sight can see it. And if a normal look cannot see it, then it's good. And that is around, according to the Chazon Ish, according to most poskim, about, the Chazon Ish is 15 centimeters, that's the chumrah. But most poskim say about 35 centimeters, about 14 inches, about a foot. If you hold the esrog a little bit more than a foot away from your eye, and you can't see it, then I don't care. Okay? With regular vision. Okay, not if you take your glasses off. Because if I take my glasses off, I can't even see it's an esrog. So it needs to be from about a foot away. I don't see it. If I don't see it, then I don't care at the end of the day. If it's an issue of chaser, when they're looking in with a jeweler's loop, right, and they're sitting there like this, they're looking at issues of scabs and how it grew, things like that. But again, if you're not familiar with that anyway, you're going to show it to somebody else. So for issues of color, black and white, in those cases, just a little bit more than a foot away. Let's just wrap this piece up and we'll get to hitter and then we'll be done. Green. Let's just make a comment about green. That's the other shear that I linked to over there. You can listen to the shear about green. That's a machlokus regarding how green. You want to try to pick a sermon that is yellow as possible. If it's mamish green all over, find another esrog. Even if you're a chassidish and the Zohar says that green is the best, find another esrog. You want esrogim that are yellow. That is considered the best thing. Could be a psul according to some shittos as well. And again, if it's turning, if it's mostly yellow, it's turning green, that's fine. All these esrogim we had here are going to be fine.
Green turning yellow.
If it's green turning yellow, so then that's fine. You want as yellow as you can get. In our generation, you can find very, very beautiful esrogim, and there's a mitzvah to find a beautiful esrog. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Zekeli Vandehu, this is the mitzvah of Hidra Mitzvah, and the example it gives is to find a beautiful esrog. The Prima Gadim writes in Tafresh Memches, Va'ashrei mi sheyuchal likach esrog na hadar v'naki mikol. Praise is the person who can find an esrog that is beautiful, that is hadar, and clean of everything. And therefore we do spend more time on the esrog because there is something praiseworthy about having a beautiful esrog. The Tiferes Yisrael in Sukkah in Perek Gimel says there are five hidurim in an esrog, and they are: to be as clean as possible, that it should be bumpy and not smooth, like a lemon. The oketz should be recessed into the esrog. To explain. The oketz should have, see how it goes in, the flesh of the esrog goes in, it shouldn't be pointy out at the bottom. The flesh of the esrog goes in, and the oketz is recessed inside. That's considered a hiddur, but it's not a psul if it's not. It should be shaped like a tower, not like a circle. Broad at the bottom, narrower at the top. And also, there should be a straight line between the shoshant and the oketz. Meaning, you should be able to hold it straight and draw a straight line from top to bottom. If it's like over here, and one is over here, so then that's not hadar. It's not a psul, but you want it to be physically pleasing. It should be aligned and straight top to bottom. That would be a nice, that's a nice hiddur as well in the esrog.
The first one again?
The first one is, it should be clean as possible. Okay. Is there a hiddur with the pitzom? What's better? With a pitzom, without a pitzom? So, Rav Yashiv felt that a pitzom was better because he felt that if a pitzom falls off in the last third stage of its growth, it's a psul. But that's a chumrah from Rav Yashiv. And he also felt a pitzom is greater suras ha-esrog. It's more esrogi, said Rav Yashiv, if it has a pitzom. And you feel like it's more of an esrog. And there's a shita that an esrog without a pitzom is pasul as well. However, Rosh Shlomo Zalman felt that an esrog without a pitzom is more mahadur because growers will graft esrogim to make a stronger pitzom. And that means if you have a geshmak of pitzom, that means maybe somebody grafted your esrog. And therefore he felt it's a sign that it's a better esrog. So, again, at the end of the day, you have what's your line each way. It is a chumrah, it is a hiddur, that's up to you. What I guess are your preferences, what you think looks nicer, or what you're not going to be nervous about over the course of esrog, or over the course of sukkahs. The Sharei Chag HaSukkos cites Rav Yashiv and Rav Ben Sion Abba Shol, who felt that it's better to buy a nicer looking esrog with bletlach than one clean of bletlach, but didn't grow as nicely. So again, bletlach are the whitish scabs you find. So better to have a beautiful tsura, a beautiful, beautiful looking esrog with some bletlach, than to have a bletlach, no bletlach, but it's an ugly looking esrog. So we want to try to have it should be pleasing and beautiful to the eye as well. Fine, so that's all for the dalmidim. Just a note about boxes. Okay, as we said before, the note on the box only tells you it's not tevel and not shumas and maestras, and that it's not Murkav. So don't rely on the box. Sometimes in the box, they'll say, like, you have to, some, like in Eretz Yisrael, you have to buy the box closed, they want you open, and things like that. You should be able to look, don't buy a box if you can't look inside. You should be able to look inside, inspect your esrog, and appreciate it yourself. We'll just end with the comments of Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach in Halicha Shlomo. He says, Hayom shematzuyim b'shuk arbas haminim mehudarim l'rov. He says, nowadays in the shuk, we find beautiful dal minim, nachon shishtad al kalechad kafi yecholto lahadar hamitzvah. Therefore, everyone should push themselves the best they can, financially, time-wise, to find a set of dal minim that are beautiful, because We live in a wonderful generation where we can find these things accessible. We hear stories in Europe that one esrog, they pass around the whole town. We don't have to do that anymore. We can find beautiful esrogim, beautiful dalminim on our own. And the Sefer HaMinhagim says that one who buys a beautiful dalminim will be zocha, chayol mahazen, chayol haba. And we should be merit to have a beautiful dalminim this year. And it should reflect all the different species of Klal Yisrael and different Jews who come together. Okay?